Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called, When Will Jesus Return? It comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35.
Well, it happened again. The last couple of weeks, somebody came up and said, you know, I just think it's time for Jesus to return. And on one hand, I got it. I got it because it was an overwhelming time. The headlines were continuing to be just terrible and polarizing. And I think it's just time for Jesus to return. Or Jesus can't come soon enough. I get that because beyond just the moment, it is a question that has been hanging out there for people for a long time. Our passage is coming out of the book of Acts, and we're talking about the new normal. And the passage we heard today is out of Acts 4. You go back to Acts 1, and it's the exact same question that the disciples are asking Jesus in. Is this the time? Are you finally going to come? Are you going to come and set things right? So it's a good question. By way of answering it, and I'm going to get to that, by way of answering it, I'm going to use, though, the passage in Acts 4. I'm going to use that same passage that you heard earlier and invite you to revisit it. And as you see those words that are in there, that nobody held anything of their own. There was this sense of joy. There was this sense of generosity. There was this sense of people getting out of their own way. I want to posit this, that maybe that's just a snapshot. That's a snapshot of when life is flourishing, but that is a snapshot of people who are fully alive, fully open, fully human. Today we would talk about these are people who are in the flow. Things are just moving, and it seems to be happening naturally as nobody's calling anything their own. They're sharing everything. They're giving themselves to something larger. There is momentum in their life. This is flow. This is life as we would want it to be. Not because there are no problems, but in the midst of all the same kind of problems that were there the day before, the week before, the month before, none the way there's a different way of going at it. And it has something to do with the presence of Christ. Here are these people, and if you look in just the very first couple chapters of Acts, here are these people, and God is doing some amazing things through them. Signs and wonders is how the Bible sometimes talks about it. People are being healed through them. Hearts are being turned through them. Compassion is being offered through them. Lives are being changed through them. And you read that long enough, and you begin to go past not just what has been going on as evidence of God, but that the real sign and wonder might be the part that says through them. That these are the people through whom all these amazing things are happening. That the greatest sign and wonder is this group of people who are so open and so alive and so aligned with the Spirit of God, that people are encountering God through them. Now, admittedly, this is just for a season. We don't get any indication that this continued on. This was how it went always, that people are always being healed and that there was always this flow. But as with all the miracles are ways of pulling back the curtain and giving us a sneak preview into what life was meant to be in all its wholeness. It is a way of looking at and showing that even though it may not last every day, it still gives a glimpse of who we have it in us to become when we are aligned with God. And so I want to start here. I want to ask this question. Before we talk about what will it be like when Jesus returns, what is it like today, and how is Jesus showing up in our life today? What makes us think we're going to be any more ready for Jesus to come and to establish the reign in the realm of God if we aren't doing it today? It was a year ago that as we were gathering for the first time online and only online, when there were so many questions that we were wrestling around and trying and scrambling, and the problem seemed overwhelming. And again, I heard it, when is Jesus going to return? This must be when Jesus comes back. Can't happen fast enough. And yet, throughout that year, something happened. People opened their lives, and they were aligned. And things began to flow in ways that had never been before. We played a song back then, and I'm going to play the same song that we played a year ago, when it's all been said and done. The words are still the same. Most of the pictures are the same, and that's on purpose, because I want to use it as a reference, that as you watch and see these, that this is a reminder that we have been through problems, and we have been through catastrophe, and we have been through chaos and uncertainty before, and the question is always the same. What are you giving your life to? What did we give our life to on the other side of the pandemic? What will we give ourselves to on this side? What is it that our life is flowing towards? As you listen to these words, as you watch these pictures, as we take a look at, from maybe where we have come, how would you answer that question today? When it's all been said and done, what are we giving our life to today? So that brings us back to our question. So when will Jesus return? It's the question that the disciples ask Jesus. When? And they're there, and Jesus ascends into heaven, and they're up there looking, and the angel's coming. So what are you waiting for? Well, it's pretty clear. What we're waiting for is for Jesus to come back, because that's when the world will be set right. That's when the problems will go away. That's when peace will reign. That's when the prayer of the Lord's Prayer will be accomplished. Let thy will be done on earth even as in heaven. Jesus has to come back. And there's been basically two answers that the church has used over time. And the first answer for the first 15, 16, 1700 plus years of the church's existence, there was this idea that when Jesus came, that would establish the reign and realm. And so the job of the church was to establish and make the world ready for Christ. It was to redeem the world. It was to bring peace to the world. It was to make the world right so that then Jesus could come and sit on the throne and then rule from there. And if that sounds odd to you, it's probably more an indication of how out of step we are today with the history that we have as a church. But before you dismiss that as being particularly odd or wrong-headed, let me just remind us that when we think about the days when people talk about what the church doing, what the church was supposed to do, it's usually coming out of that era. Some of the greatest and most amazing things that the church gave humanity came out of that era. Hospitals, and the idea that churches need to come in and establish hospitals because nobody else would, schools, orphanages, the great works of art, the great feats of architecture and music, all of that came out of this era. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring flowering of everything that it means to be human and of knowledge. This is where we sent out missionaries. This is where we sent out, and we tackled the big problems because that was our job. We wanted Jesus to come back, and so we were going to do everything we could to make that happen. Until about 150, 200 years ago, that was the predominant thought. And then little by little, it began to occur to people that we're never going to make that happen. We're never going to make the world perfect so that Jesus can come back. And in fact, if we're honest, some of the things we have done have made it worse. And some of it's coming out of our own ego and our own pride. And so another thought started to predominate, and especially in the last 50 or 60 years, certainly here in America, something has shifted. And the idea is now that Jesus has to come back first, and then things will get better. Can you tell the difference? We have to make things better, and then Jesus will return, to no, Jesus has to come back first, and then everything's going to get better. And that's more than just a flip of a phrase. That is a monumental shift in what does it mean to be a Christian? What do we do as followers of Christ? What do we do while we are waiting? And more, while we are waiting for Jesus to come back and make things right, it has meant then we just need to be very good at watching the signs so we'll know what's going on. It means that we don't have to get involved anymore because it didn't do any good. And so it's all up to Jesus now. And whether the signs are having to do with, oh, Israel was a new nation again in 1948. So that means now with the right decoder ring and the right watching of signs, that means Jesus is going to come back. And when that didn't happen at that timeline, people said, well, we need a new decoder ring. And so people would find the verse that says the gospel has to be preached to all the nations and then Jesus will come back. I remember a long time ago, listening to one of those Christian broadcast stations talking about how they were going to bring Jesus back because they were going to be launching a satellite that was going to go up into space and then beam the gospel in every language into every land because that's what needed to happen. And then Jesus would return. Tens of millions of dollars so that Jesus would return. And if that seems a little odd to you, it sure did to me too. I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge back then, but even then it struck me as, we're spending tens of millions of dollars to put up a satellite to sail over the heads of people, broadcasting to TVs they don't have and radios they don't have, forgetting the fact that maybe some of that money could have been spent for food or water or medicine or shelter. But that didn't matter because that wasn't our job anymore. No, now it was to do these things so then Jesus would return and make things better. Sometimes it goes from nonsense to dangerous. The dangerous part comes when even those things don't work, and then people say, well, then the only thing that's going to bring Jesus back is when the world gets bad enough, and it just is getting worse and worse, and so perfect, now Jesus will come. So that now, do you see what has happened? Now that we are no longer, not only are we not working on the problems of the world, but the less we work on them, the more that Jesus will return. Do we have to be concerned about our planet? No, because the worse it gets, the sooner he comes. Do we need to be worried about war or safety or peace? No. Injustice? No. Suddenly the gospel is about what do we need to do to keep ourselves free? How do we avoid the problems of this world and evade the suffering so that we can escape when Jesus returns? That's absolutely dangerous. So which is it? Can I contend that I think neither? I think they're both asking the wrong question. When we ask the question, when will Jesus return? The presumption is that Jesus left. I know people will point to the passage in Acts, but Jesus went up. Yes, Jesus ascended. But Jesus didn't leave. Jesus ascended into power so that Christ could be even more involved in our life and in our world through the Spirit. And just as Christ rose in power, then the power of God descends on people on Pentecost. And rather than coming through one person and one little group of disciples, now it's throughout all of humanity that God is at work. And it's that passage again in Acts 4 that gives me courage about that. This is what happens. This is what it looks like when Jesus is fully present, when lives are fully open, when people are human and people are open and hearts are growing and it's spacious and we're getting out of our own way and ego isn't the issue anymore. And now we're serving one another gladly and with joy. This is what it looks like. And this is what we're being called to. That this group, this people that we see who are no longer concerned about a new normal unless it starts to conform to the new reality of the risen Christ and the power of God in our lives and the work of God that's flowing through us, that's the only thing we're concerned about. And so we take to heart when Jesus says, listen, I am with you always. And if you want to know when Jesus shows up, Jesus says, I'm with you. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. You want to know where Jesus shows up? Jesus shows up, says, whenever you help the suffering, you're helping me, because that's where I am. I'm there. That's where I'm at. I'm asking you to join me. When you feed the hungry, Jesus shows up there, because Jesus is already there waiting for us to show up. And it's no longer the issue is when will Jesus show up? The question is, when will we? Isn't it ironic that we find ourselves today, so many people find themselves waiting for Jesus and find out that it's Jesus who's waiting for us. And more to the point, that the largest obstacle to the gospel being lived, proclaimed, may be the very people who call themselves by Christ's name. Because we keep waiting for Jesus to show up when Jesus is already here. When will Jesus return? When will Jesus show up? It's a real question. I think it's a question that so many in this world are asking. And the answer may have less to do with when than where will Jesus show up this week? And even more to the point, in whom will Jesus show up? And if we're going to be honest, how about you? How about me? How will Jesus show up in our lives this week? What will it look like with the living Christ living the new reality in and through our lives? And so maybe the question for us today is the same question that the angel gave to those first disciples. What are you waiting for?
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.